Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray this morning. We thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you that we are privileged to carry a name that is above every other name. That name, Jesus. The name that when we mention, knees have to bow, no matter what realm they operate in. And every tongue must confess that he is Lord. Thank you for the name of Jesus. We recognize, oh God, that there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. We adore you, Jesus. We extol you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. We lift your name high up, Jesus. We bless you this morning over and over again. Thank you for this time in your presence. And in your mighty name have we prayed. And let the people of God say amen. Put your hands together again for Jesus, everyone. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. All right, the choir sang a beautiful song about the name of Jesus, and we want to re-emphasize on that name again. So there's a song I'm going to take you through. Title of the song is I Speak Jesus. I Speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Let's take it again from the top.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Let's take the second verse. I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Then the chorus is, your name is power.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Break every stronghold.
Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, bend like a fire.
Everybody join and sing, your name is power.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Break every stronghold.
Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, bend like a fire.
Let's do the third verse. I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Bass guitar off.
Over fear and all anxiety,
to every soul held.
Soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Let's take it again. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over fear and all anxiety. Over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. You can break every stronghold. Sing again. Streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets.
Father, it's time to receive your word. We ask, oh God, that as you've done aforetime, do it again and speak to us. We recognize the role that your word plays in our lives. It gives us hope. It strengthens us. It brings comfort to us. It guides us. It directs us. It empowers us to have victory over the evil one. Your word is life. Your word is power. And this morning we pray
that as your word comes forth, may we embrace it with faith and with hope and with trust in the name of Jesus. Speak through me this morning. Let me be a blessing unto your people in Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say, amen. Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12, and we're reading from verse number 4. Romans chapter 12, reading from verse number 4. I'm going to conclude on the series with the title, Making a Major Difference in Your Church Family. I'm concluding today by the grace of God. Making a Major Difference in Your Church Family. And it is the final part of the message. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 8. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a simple function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Amen. One more scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, reading from verse 12, from the New King James Version this time. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where will be the smelling? Can you imagine that your whole body is an ear? It won't be nice. Or your whole body is a nose. All your life you'll be smelling. No, no. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. All right. Now, a quick recap. I've explained to you that your church family is the local church assembly you belong to. Every serious Christian must belong to a local church assembly. Every serious Christian. And that local church assembly, you must see it as your family. And the people you are in that assembly with, you must see them as your brothers and sisters. You've been connected by the blood of Jesus, and that makes it a church family. Is that not so? All right. Now, to make a major difference in your church family means to have a significant and a positive impact on the church. What it implies is that because of your attitude, your actions, your inputs, and your contributions, things are noticeably better than they would have been otherwise. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what it means to make a major difference in your church family. You know, church, I do not know if it is the same today, but during our time in secondary school, it was very common when you enter the classroom or the dormitory to see that people have written things on the wall and even on the roof. Did you see that when you were in school? What sort of things did they write? Nicknames. And what are some of the statements?
Virus was here.
Yeah. I was here some. Who? Dollar was here. Yeah. Very common to see that. It doesn't look like it has changed. Yeah. So you see, Patolumpa was here some. Osebo was here some. Belasu. Beleu was here some. So you see it in the classroom. You see it in the dormitory, all over the place. And on the desks. Is that not so? You know, how unfortunate it will be that the only thing we can say about you in your church family is that I was here some. That's the only thing we can say about you. That you were here some. That means that when the roll call was made, your name was also mentioned. There must be something more to your life and to your presence in this church than just that you added to the numbers. There's a song we sing. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Beautiful song. But I want you to have a desire and a goal and a vision that I just don't want to be added to the numbers when the saints go marching in. I want to arrive there in grand style. I want to be noticed in a very special way. How many will like that? You see, do not resist me in my desperate attempt to make sure that you become a star when you stand before God on that judgment day. Don't resist me. Many of the things I share with you has that objective. I want it for you as I want it for myself. That when your name is mentioned, there should be a tremendous applause. And there should be shouts of joy. Shouts of congratulations. When they mention your name and you take that long walk to that throne. May he beam at you with great joy and delight. I'm talking about our Savior. And may you hear these coveted words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. May he look at you and say, Gifty, you did so well for me. You made a major difference for my kingdom in my church family. Come, here are your rewards. Here are these beautiful stones that have been prepared for you. You may be saying in your head, you see, now you may not appreciate how valuable it is. Because when you read the scriptures, it's that I'll give you a stone, I'll give it to the But you don't understand. When we get there, we will understand how precious and valuable, how much you be the envy of the people around you. Say, Hallelujah. How would you feel when they call your name and there's silence? The only applause you hear is a polite one. You know, sometimes you don't want somebody to feel bad. You see, I mean, have you ever gone for maybe a graduation ceremony when they mention somebody's name, then the whole school is shouting? You, when they mentioned your name, You will feel it. You will feel it. I'm telling you. That is why I'm saying to you that do not resist my effort to make you a star when you stand before God. Because when we all do, we will realize that it really mattered, the kind of difference, the kind of impact that we had on the church family. May heaven celebrate you. May your name cause a spontaneous rejoicing in heaven. May God smile at you when you approach that throne. As they mention your name. So you made it. You made it. You got to heaven, which is great. But there's a way you could have arrived, which you did not. Some people say that the heaven apartments, there are different types. You know, some are very exquisite. Others are also like dormitories, you know, that they pumped everybody in. No, I don't think so. Heaven, there's nothing basa-basa there. You see, but I tell you, you will see the difference between those who really serve God with all their hearts and those who were just walking through. The kind of Christian we call Yeni Name. Yeni Name. We are just adding to the numbers, but we are not making much of a difference. That will not be your story in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say, I hear you. So how can we make a major difference in our church family? I ran through them. The first one, see your church family as a living body and that you are an important part of it. See your church family. If you're going to make a major difference in your church family, see your church family as a living body and that you are an important part of it. Tell the person sitting by you, I'm an important part of the church family. So be careful how you treat me. Why? Hallelujah. Everybody is an important part of the church family. Amen. Number two, to make a major difference in your church family, Honorable. You must develop a Christ-like attitude of selflessness and humility. It says what will get you after church, you see. Number two, develop a Christ-like attitude of selflessness and humility. If you're going to make a major difference in your church family, you must develop a Christ-like attitude of selflessness and humility. Number three, to make a major difference in your church family, what do you have? And they've written it there for you. Is that not so? Anyway, decide to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Because you can be part of the problem in the church. The church is not a perfect institution. Because it's made up of imperfect people, of which you are one. And so am I. Now, you cannot expect perfection to come out of the imperfect. In that sense. So you must not be surprised if, you know, you encounter some challenges, some issues, somebody will not make you happy, somebody will say something you don't like, somebody gossip about you, somebody will not appreciate you, and all of these things are normal in human institutions. They will all be corrected when we get to heaven. Amen. Amen. But it's important that you try very hard not to be part of the problem in the church. Don't be. That anytime we think about you, anytime the leadership of the church thinks about you, we see somebody who is a problem. Don't be a problem. Decide that you will be part of the solution. Somebody who is helping to make things better in the church. Don't just come and go. But decide that you'll be part of the solution in the church. Lift up your right hand and say, from today, I'm part of the solution. I will no more be a problem. So help me, God. And tell the person sitting by you, Master Sanwai. Number four. What is the fourth point you have? You must help to build a healthy church environment of a dear, dear. Love, righteousness, peace, joy, and unity. You must help to build these things. They don't just drop from the sky. You and I must ensure that these things are in the church. That means that we must walk in love toward one another. That means that we must strive to live righteously. That means that we must aim to be at peace with one another. Tell yourself, say, Matriman Swache, and then Mejai. Yeah, tell yourself that. You know, it's good to assess yourself sometimes and realize that in Besuban, in Sumo Bay, I like quarrel, insults, but I'm trusting God to change that thing about me. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God or the sons of God. So decide to be one of them. It's not everybody you can beat. One day you meet your meter, then you see. Sometimes you watch people, very loud mouths, saying all sorts of wild things. It's because they haven't met their meter. And then they'll meet their meter and they'll realize that, you know, go and ask Aite Powers when he met with, and who beat me? No. Justy or Vasty or something. Or some guy. The guy beat him, oh. The guy beat him. Said, today you meet your meter. All right, let's move on to the fifth way you can make a major difference in your church family. Number five. You must be properly planted in your church family. Amen. You must be properly planted in your church family if you're going to make a major difference in that church family. Psalms 92 verse 13 to 14 from the New King James Version. Psalms, Auntie Maggie, I miss you. Oh, it's good to see you. You must be properly planted in your church family if you're going to make a major difference in that family. Look at Psalms 92, verse 13 to 14. It says, can we read it together if you don't mind? Ready, go. Mm-hmm. Next verse. Mm-hmm. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Hey. Many animals move free other side. What kind of flesh is here and flourishing? Alright. If you know, you know. Call Leoli. Now look at it again, verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now who are those who will flourish? I'm asking again, who will flourish according to this scripture? Those who are planted. And planted where? And what is another name for the house of the Lord? The church. It is those who are planted who end up flourishing. So the opposite of this is what? If you are not planted, you don't flourish. And what does it mean to flourish? It means to do well. It means to excel. It means to go places. That's what it means to flourish. And flourishing is associated with those who are planted. And if you are planted, it means that your roots have gone down and are stable. Now, do you know that you can't be planted anywhere and everywhere? There is only one particular place you are planted. Look at any of the trees around. You watch them. Today, after church, go and look for one particular tree and see where it is planted. If you come next week, and the week after, and the week after, and the week after, where will you find it? Same place. So it is associated with a particular place, a particular spot. As a matter of fact, any plant that you keep moving, transplanting, moving from here to there, to there, to there, what is the future of that plant? It will die. And that is my fear for any child of God who hasn't identified the church family that God has placed them in, and who haven't ensured that they are planted and rooted and grounded there. The first important thing is to find out, where does God want me to be? It's a very important question. And I'll tell you this, don't be anywhere you don't have the conviction that this is where God wants me to be. And much as I don't like to lose church members, if you are here and you don't have that conviction that Shepherd's Fold Restoration Family is where God wants you to be, Shepherd's Fold Restoration Family is the church family that God has placed you in. If you don't have that conviction, it's a problem. Because you need to settle that issue in your heart. And once you settle on where God wants you to be, what your church family is, the next important thing that you must do is you must be planted. You must be grounded there. Because, I mean, are you not confused? You move from here to here to here to here. Then you go back to here, to here, to here. Then you move again to here. Then you come back again to here. And congrats, I am even confused for you. In a month, four churches. What's wrong with you? And that explains why you are not flourishing. That's the explanation. So settle the issue of, where has God planted me? Where? Settle it. And you are taking too long in settling it. And those of you who have itching ears, you are all over the place. You hear that somebody has come here. Oyakba, away bus. You are there. You hear that God is doing something at that place. Oyakba, if you are like that, my only description of you is unstable. And it's very difficult to do anything with you. So I'm bringing you back to that initial point. Decide on where you believe that God wants you to be. Decide. And if you don't think that this church is where God wants you to be, look for where you believe God wants you to be. And when you are going, come and see me and at least say thank you for all the weeks that I've been preaching to you. Don't just walk away. Come and say thank you. Eh? Then the AC you've been enjoying. Come and say thank you at least. And me, I will bless you. I will never curse you. Curse you. Why should a pastor curse a church member because the church member has decided to move somewhere else? What do you mean? I'll never curse you. You know, there are people who were part of this church, you know, some time ago, somewhere around from the very beginning and everything. They are no longer around. Now, some of the people who left, I have tried to have a relationship with them. But for some reason, they don't want to relate. They don't want to relate. I don't know whether they feel guilty But there's nothing to feel guilty about. There's nothing to feel guilty about. Provided that your reason for leaving is a good one. And sometimes in your search to find exactly where God has planted you, you may do a little moving around. But there's a point that you must get to where you decide, okay. You have to decide, say, it's time. It's time to settle. So settle where you can do well, where you can flourish, where you can make a major difference. But the key thing is that you must be planted there. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody today? Wonderful. And I didn't say that if you don't like this church, you can go. That wasn't said. So don't change the message. That's not what I said. I'm saying again that I personally feel, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's my temperament or whatever, because I'm quite melancholic in my things, but I don't like to lose relationships. I don't like it. I don't like to lose church members. There's something about me that takes it personal. I feel that it's my fault. So I'll try. I'll ask all kinds of questions because I want to know what it is so that I can work on myself. Because just as you are work in progress, me too, I am work in progress. I don't like it. So never ever think that when I preach and I make statements like that, what I'm saying is that you can go. That's not what I'm saying at all. Tell your neighbor, I'll check a message. Today my God has come, pal. Number 6. We are almost there. How can I make a major difference in my church family? Number 6, you must aim to be a good example of everything good in your church family. You must aim to be a good example of everything good in your church family. You must aim to be a good example of everything good in your church family. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 from the New Living Translation. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. And we are interested in the statement that followed. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. So Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the ministry, and he's telling him that be an example. And of course, he's asking him to be a good example. That's what he's asking him to be a good example in his speech, in his conduct, in his love, in his faith, in his purity, or in his holiness or separation to God. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to make a major difference in your church family, decide that I'll be a good example of everything good in that church family. So what is good? Coming for Bible classes and being here at 9:15 on the dot is a good thing. So you must be a good example of that. By doing what? 9:15, you are here. If you want to make a major difference in your church family, you must be a good example of everything good that we can talk about in your church. What else is good in the church family? Somebody help me. Joining the prayer rendezvous. You must be a good example of that. Did you say coming for all nights? If you are part of the choir, somebody will get into trouble. But that's true. So if you are in any department, you must decide that I'll be a good example of a member of that department. If you are part of the ushering department, you must decide that I'll be a good example. When I'm on duty, I'll be here. And I'll be here on time. I won't be an usher who leaves all the work for just one or two people. That's it. Protocol ladies, if you belong to that department, decide that I'll be a good example of it. If a roster is drawn up that on this particular day you are on duty, you must set a good example by being there. Amen. The band. The band. The band. Where are they? Oh, they are here. So that's what we are saying. You must be a good example of everything. People who talk well in the church, you must be counted among those. Dana aje. No. In speech, in conduct, in faith, in purity. Now, if you want to know what to aim to be good at, you can take a look at the church cultures. Because it is the cultures of the church that define the church. So if your aim is to be a good example of everything good in your church family, which is this church family, just look at the different cultures. I put them up there. I don't know whether you've even bothered, Uncle Ed, good to see you. I don't know whether you've ever bothered to run through before. Charlie. Hey, that's the sign. Me who watch it. Ben you like and you dodge me. So the cultures are here. Faithfulness and a sense of responsibility. You must be a good example of it. Commitment and devotion. You must be a good example of this. Holiness and doing what is right. You must be a good example of it. Sacrifice. When I say the thing, say I must be a good example of it. Sacrifice. Serving God willingly and with gladness of heart. Doing our best for the Lord. Winning and discipling souls. Giving generously to support the work of God. Participating in all church activities. Availability, not excuses. Getting to church on time. Relating well with others and respecting everybody. Respect for authority. Respect for the house of God, the people of God, and the things of God. Avoiding complaints, murmuring, and disputing. Creating a welcoming atmosphere for visitors and newcomers. Going out of my way to make them feel welcome and involved. Growing in personal knowledge of the Lord. Maturing in the Lord and being able to teach others. Oh, the last one, you must shout it out. I must be a good example of this. Hallelujah. That's what it means. If you're going to make a major difference in your church family. Number seven. If you want to make a major difference in your church family, use whatever gifts, abilities, and strengths you have to help your church family. If you're going to make a major difference, use whatever gifts, abilities, and strengths you have to help your church family. Do you have a gift? Do you have abilities? Are you strong in certain areas? Then you must use those gifts, those abilities, and strengths to help your church family run better. Romans 12, 6 to 8, New King James Version. Romans 12, 6 to 8. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So yeah, the Bible is saying that we have different gifts, and those gifts have been given to us according to the grace of God. It is the Spirit of God who gives gifts, who places those gifts in us. So it goes on and says, if your gift is prophesying, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, that means serving, let's use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, or he who encourages, in exhortation. He who gives with liberality or with generosity. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So that means that whatever your gift is, and don't ever stand anywhere and say, I don't have some. You do. There is no single individual on the face of the planet Earth who doesn't have a gift or the other. Some are multi-gifted, but certainly everybody has a gift. There's nobody who is nipajenjan as a papa being, you know. That's not true. So say, I don't know, or I haven't yet discovered it, but you have it. You have it. You know, sometimes when you're growing up, some of the things that are said to you can really affect you and reduce your sense of value, of self-value. And that's why for us parents, we got to be careful what we speak over our children. Because they can grow up with a complex, saying things like, you're useless, you're a fool, you don't have sense, your nose like Tapoli. Don't let's do that, because you're destroying something in them. So they grow up with a complex. Meanwhile, the nose is very nice. As for noses, they are different sizes. And it is God, the maker of all, he's the one who shares the noses. He looked at your face and decided that a henna tatar, flat one, that's what is good for you. He never made a mistake. But on a very serious note, let's really watch what we say to people, because it can really affect them. But everybody must understand that you have a gift. You have an area that you're strong in. You have a certain ability. It's about using it to make a major difference in the church. And usually when you talk about these things, the minds of people always shift to spiritual gifts. No. Even your physical gifts can be used to make a major difference in the church family. You are a good leader. You know how to mobilize. You know how to organize. You are a good manager of things. There are different areas in the church that you can function in, and you can make a major difference there. Some of you, your gift is talking. Yes. We need that gift to win a lot of souls. Because you know how to talk, how to defend things. You see, somebody like you be good at apologetics, which is defense of the gospel. So you're talking, which some time ago you used to fight with. Now use it for something profitable to make a major difference in the church family. Yeah. Pastor James, I should tell you, those who have the gift of talking, you are always talking, always talking. You talk, even in your dreams, you talk. You see, And when you talk to people, believe you. Yes. Yeah. When you talk to people, believe you. Because when we see your face, it's like, how can he not be telling the truth? It must be used. Who? Kezia. Eh? I didn't know that. The whole, she can talk for the whole Ghana. This Kezia, she doesn't look like it at all. So do you see that people are gifted, but they are not using them properly? Ask the person sitting by you, what is your gift? And what are you using it for? Hallelujah. And the last one, if you're going to make a major difference in your church family, you must honor the leadership of the church and support the church vision. If you're going to make a major difference in your church family, you must honor the leadership of the church and support the church vision. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Timothy 5, 17, New King James Version. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Who is the scripture referring to? Pastors, church leaders. Is that not so? And the Bible says they should be counted worthy of what? Double honor. That means go the extra mile to honor them. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Same King James, New King James, New King James. Stay right there. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Is this talking about your boss at the workplace? No, because your boss at the workplace is not going to give account for your soul. So who is going to give account for your soul? If you are part of this fold, I'm the one who is going to give an account for your soul. It's a very wild thing. So the Bible says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable for you. So it's talking about honoring the church leadership, obeying the church leadership, submitting to the church leadership. And you see, there's a very simple reason why. You see, the leadership of a church is important. It helps to give direction and vision to the church. In a church like this, there are leaders. And the Lord Jesus, if you take this church, is the shepherd. And I keep explaining to you that the shepherd in the name of this church is not me. When we say shepherd's fold, the shepherd there is not me. This is not my fault. The shepherd in the name of the church is the Lord Jesus. And I am honored to have the privilege of working with him to take care of you. But you don't belong to me. That is why one of the statements that I try very hard not to make is to call this church my church. I try very hard not to say that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with personalizing your church. But I've seen that statement being so abused that I find it repulsive now. It's my church. I can sack you. I can sack you from my church. Really? You don't know what you're talking about. It's God's church. And Jesus Christ is the shepherd of this fold. But he's the one who has placed me here. And he's working through me to take care of you. Now, so I'm an under shepherd. You make my work, as well as the work of the other leaders of the church, very difficult. When you don't cooperate, when you don't flow, when you don't follow directives, when you don't follow the vision that we set up, when you don't respect authority. Yes, I knew that sometimes that role of a leader can be abused and can be used as a weapon to manipulate people. and get them to do whatever you want them to do. It is true that there have been excesses. But just as you don't stop using money because you had an experience with counterfeit money, you cannot also get to a point where you say that I don't like all pastors, I don't believe all pastors because this pastor said this, this pastor did this and all that. You can't say that. When you do that, you are not honest. After you had a problem with the nurse at the hospital, have you stopped going to the hospital? So I'm saying to you that if you are going to make a major difference in the church family, there's a certain way you must flow with the leadership. Honor, respect, obey. But then of course, as I'm saying that, I'm not saying that you should be a zombie. I'm not saying that you shouldn't use your head. When God created you, He gave you a mind. I'm not asking you to just follow senselessly. Of course, anything and everything that we ask you to do in this church, you must weigh it in the light of the Word of God. But once you do that, and again, that's another reason why you must grow and mature in the Lord. You must know God for yourself. Know Him for yourself. So that anything that we are asking you to do as the leadership of the church, you will know that this is in line with the Word of God. It is in tandem with the Word of God. And it's okay for me to flow with it. We are not here to hurt you or to harm you. And any vision, any directive that we come up with, it is to help the church do well and flourish. All of us are part of this church family. It is God who has placed us here, and we have a responsibility to help it to function well, to grow, to increase, and to expand. And so if I come up with the 11th hour push, for example, and say that there are 10 things that we must strive to do as we've entered the 11th month of the year, getting into the 12th month, you must cooperate with me. Because these things, it's not like I go and eat fufu and benkwine soup with crab, mushroom, and snails. Then I get up, no, then I come and stand here and say, 11th hour push, 11th hour push. No, that's not what it is. That's not how it is. These things, I believe with all my heart that it is God who drops them in my heart and in my mind. And when you think about it, it's not asking you to go and do anything bad. It is rather to help the house of God and help the kingdom of God to do well. And any church where the membership of the church cooperates with the leadership and follow and support the vision of the church, that church flourishes and does well. So a classic example is the early church that you read about in Acts chapter 2. Look at what the Bible says of them as we close. Acts 2 verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. That means that they were devoted. That means they were committed. That means that they had given themselves to what was good. And of course, whatever they were doing there had been drawn up or put in place by who? The leadership of the church. And they were committed to it. Now look at the results of that, the benefits. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, this describes a church that is flourishing, or a church that was doing very well. And you could see that they were committed and devoted to the things that had been put in place in the church. And usually, it is the leadership of the church that determines what is to be done in that church. And here you can see that the members of the church flowed with it. And as a result of that, the church flourished. the members of the church supported the vision of the leadership, and it led to the church doing well. And the fascinating thing is that as the church was doing well, all of them individually in their lives, they were also doing well. When this church prospers, you will prosper. When this church flourishes, you will flourish. It cannot be that God will bless the church and you will not receive your fair share of those blessings, because you are part of it. Hallelujah. So if you're going to make a major difference in your church family, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that you have to do would be to honor the leadership of the church and support the church vision. I pray that this series on how to make a major difference in your church family will stir up something in the inside of all of us. The year is about to end. This year was a year of giving our best to the Lord. I don't think we've done that. I don't think that we were very effective in doing that. But we can decide that moving forward, we are going to do far better than we have done. And I want you to determine that by the grace of God and by the help of the Holy Spirit, my intention is that moving forward from this time onwards, I will do everything that I can to make a major difference in my church family. May the Spirit of God help us all. Rise to your feet and let's close, please. Thank you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We have just a couple of minutes. In fact, time is up. But I want to pray with you. Maybe somebody invited you to church today, but you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. That is actually the step that you must take to be part of the church family. You must surrender your heart to Jesus. You must acknowledge Him as the Son of God, the one who came to die to pay the price for your sins. He did not stay dead. God raised Him from the dead on the third day and is alive forevermore. It is this Jesus I'm talking about. You need to receive Him into your heart and into your mind. And this morning, as we bring the service to a close, I want to give you that opportunity to do that. Perhaps you are watching us online now. You're watching us. And you've never taken this step for Jesus. It's not by chance that you decided to watch this live streaming. I want to tell you wherever you are that Jesus loves you. Oh, how He loves you. And he wants to make your life better. And today, I'll be very delighted to pray with you. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Wherever you are, if you want to take this important step for your life, I want you to lift up your right hand. Whether you are in person here or you are watching, I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. And I want all of us to join in this prayer wherever we are. Say with me, Dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. I'm so sorry for staying away from you. Please forgive me for all my sins and wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you for the rest of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.